Welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. Associate Professor James Smith is a 2017 Equity Fellow within the Office of the Pro Vice Chancellor for Indigenous Leadership at Charles Darwin University in Darwin. He is a co-author of a perspective in the MJA entitled Men's Health in Australia, Where To Now? And he's also my guest today on the pod. Men are stoic and don't ask for help, isn't that right?
Not exactly. So what we're finding is that men actually do have an interest in their health and are willing to seek help, but often in their own time, and that can be a bit of a problem in terms of effective healthcare. But certainly we understand that there's a range of different constructions of who men are, and some men draw on different aspects of masculinity in different ways.
Do men need a more individualised approach than women, for example?
Oh, listen, it's about tailoring appropriate healthcare for men. So it's about making sure that there are options in the health promotion landscape in particular, engaging men on their terms. And we've seen a proliferation of men's health programs across Australia. Men's Sheds is a really good example, but also been workplace health programs as well that support men within their workplace. And there's various other programs with fathers, etc. So I think thinking of a settings approach in the way that we engage men to discuss and talk about their health is really important.
What is the right environment? Is there one right environment, or is it, as you say, tailored for groups of men?
Yeah, there's not necessarily one right environment. There are various settings where we can engage men, some of those that I've just described. But you know, thinking about the different types of men that draw on different types of masculinities in terms of who they are and their identity, and thinking about those is really important. So we need to start to think about, well, what are some of the specific groups that are more disadvantaged or more vulnerable in the men's health space? And when we look at the statistics around regional and rural men, gay men, men from low socioeconomic backgrounds, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men, we know that they have poorer health outcomes in some areas than others. So it's about tailoring initiatives, health promotion programs and interventions that best suit their needs.
Do female doctors have a role to play in this, or do men just want to go see men?
There are different views around that, but certainly I would say that female health service providers, including doctors, do play a pivotal role in engaging men in their health. There's no one-size-fits-all approach for any one individual male. Some will prefer male, some will prefer female, as is the case with in the women's health context as well. It's about making sure that health service providers, whether they be doctors, allied health professionals, nurses, etc., making sure that they have the skills to be able to engage men well in terms of their health and healthcare.
Do we train our medical students properly in this field?
We have seen an increase in resources developed and training provided in this space, but it's still not enough. So we don't actually see a great focus on gender and health full stop. Or men's health within training programs, whether that be for doctors, nurses, allied health professionals, or the like. So certainly more can be done in that space, and more is needed, and that's been recognised in a range of research that's happened nationally.
The impression I got from your paper, and hopefully it's a correct impression, is that we have these great initiatives like Men's Shared, like the Top Blokes Foundation, Movember, things like that, but we're not really great yet at evaluating and collecting data on the effects of those programs. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that is fair. What we know, and it's not necessarily specific to any of those projects, but across the board, what we know is that we could do more sophisticated evaluation work And in particular, we need to go past just to describing activities around what's happening in men's health from a process perspective. And we need to start delving a bit deeper into the impact and outcomes. How effective are these approaches? Are they working? If they are working, in which ways? And we're not really answering those questions at the moment. So a much greater investment in that space, both at a programmatic level, but also at a policy level as well, actually digging deeper and saying, has the national male health policy worked, and how can we make sure that that has a more strategic impact in terms of improving health outcomes for men in Australia?
Obviously, that kind of thing takes funding. Where is the funding coming from, and is there enough of it?
There's certainly not enough of it at the moment. What we've found within the men's health landscape in Australia is that practitioners have done extremely well in doing work off the smell of an oily rag.
Yes.
So we certainly need to see more funding in this. We need to see a commitment. And that was one of the failings, I guess, of the National Male Health Policy, is that there were a lot of recommendations and or actions that were listed in there around what could be done.
Yep.
But there was no funding to, or very little funding to match that. There's been some gains in terms of a longitudinal study, so in the research space. Mm-hmm. There's been very small gains in terms of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander male health, and also the men's shed space. But apart from that, there's been very little investment in that space, and we need to see much more.
What's the NHMRC's take on all of this? Are they providing much in the way of grants and fellowships?
Yeah, historically there hasn't been a lot of men's health work that has been funded through NHMRC, and part of the problem there is that a lot of the men's health researchers are within their own institutions doing some great work, but it hasn't necessarily been scaled up to a national level.
Right.
There are a few men's health research institutes and or centres across Australia. Again, not enough of those. And they've done well, but by and large, they've done much better through philanthropic sources in terms of securing funding to do work in this space.
Let's talk a little bit about the Indigenous space, a little more detailed. If you had a magic wand, what would you fix or what would you improve first in terms of Indigenous men's health?
We were really fortunate to run a Northern Territory think tank around this issue in the up in the Northern Territory in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And that was with a range of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander males working in policy and practice context in the Northern Territory. And there were some consistent messages there, and they said, well, we need to see greater investment and recognition of social determinants of health.
Mm-hmm.
We need to see greater investment in young Indigenous males and supporting them and mentoring them to be the leaders of tomorrow.
Yep.
And we also need to be addressing some of the hard issues, so things around mental health, including suicide, things around alcohol and other drug use, and also things associated with domestic and family violence.
Yes.
And that actually a more coordinated approach to those things that crosses sectoral boundaries is really important. In terms of doctors, I think making sure that they bring a gender lens to their work, that they understand that different men have different views about their health,
mm-hmm.
and that trying to tap into that and to recognise that there are certain qualities that men do value in terms of health service provision as well, one of which is humour within the way that they approach their health. So I think that that's important.
Yep.
The only other thing that I would mention in terms of my paper, which isn't necessarily directed at doctors, but probably more so at the Australian government and those people working in men's health more broadly, is that leadership and governance is a really important issue within the men's health research policy and practice landscape.
Right.
And that we need to have those opportunities. If we want to see effective policy implementation, we need to make sure that we've got that leadership and governance sorted. And at the moment, there hasn't been a lot of reflection in terms of what that could look like in terms of the national male health policy. And that's where other countries such as Ireland are leading the way.
Is there a generational effect at work? Are younger men more aware of their own health and treating themselves better?
Yeah, listen, there's a large body of research to say that young men are more likely to engage in risk-taking behaviours that puts their health at risk.
Yeah.
But that being said, there are different groups of men. We are certainly seeing generational differences in terms of the way men and boys, young men and boys are thinking about their health.
Mm-hmm.
That are engaging in what we would call sort of protective health behaviours. And, you know, that's a promising sign, I think. Understanding those intergenerational links in terms of men's health is really important. And, yeah, we're starting to see shifts, but there's still more work to be done in that space. Research says that having a bit of a joke, bringing a bit of humour into the discussion around that is important. The research also says that men self-monitor their health. So yeah, they might not seek help, that they are likely to keep tabs on their health as well. So asking probing questions around his health from his perspective can be really useful as well.
James, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much, Kate.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.